This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Joyce Goh and Brian Fernandez with top business stories of the day. We begin with the Grab Uber rumor that just won't go away. So the latest news is that Uber has reached an agreement to sell its Southeast Asian ride-hailing business to rival Grab. Nothing official yet, but it could get official as early as this morning.
That's right, Sharad. So Bloomberg quoting sources say that the agreement includes all of Uber's operations in Southeast Asia, as well as Uber Eats in the region. So in exchange, it will give Uber a stake of between 25% and 30% in the new combined business. So the deal marks, if it happens, another operational exit by Uber from another major market.
Yeah, so remember, Uber has done something like this before in China with Didi Chuxing. 2 years ago, Uber's operations in China was ceded to Didi in return for a 17.5% stake. So Didi is China's biggest ride-hailing company. Now, since then, last year, Uber agreed to merge also its Russian business with Yandex for a smaller stake in a joint venture where Uber will essentially take a back seat. Now, given what's happened in China and Russia, many speculate this would be the pattern for Grab's acquisition in Southeast Asia, where Uber will sell its business and essentially get a stake in the rival or the enlarged company.
Now, so we have this pattern as established China and Russia. But didn't Uber's CEO recently dismiss such speculation?
Yeah, sure. Just last month in February, actually, he seemed to have dismissed. That's what news reports are saying. He said that the plan right now for Uber in Southeast Asia is to go for it, lean for it, and to invest. So he also said in last November, remember, that a merger with Grab was not a possibility. But pulling out markets like Southeast Asia for Uber would help earnings, as the company has burned through nearly US$11 billion, that's about 43 billion ringgit, since its founding 9 years ago.
Yeah, so don't forget that Uber CEO also has been pushing to clean up the company's financial in preparation of an IPO next year. Now, so just to give you an idea of the staggering numbers involved, Uber lost $4.5 billion last year, and that's a 61% increase from 2016. Now, what's interesting in its recent results is actually the fact that the non-ride-hailing business is actually helping their earnings. So it's Uber Eats, which is their food delivery business, reached $4 billion gross revenue in terms of run rate in the fourth quarter, which essentially means that the food delivery business represents about 10% of Uber's business.
Yeah, so it looks like if Grab does buy over Uber and Uber Eats, you will be able to expand its non-ride-hailing business as well. And, you know, that is something that Grab has been building through its payment system, GrabPay.
You know, I have never used that service.
GrabPay?
No, Grab...
Uber Eats. I just used it over the weekend because my kids were ill.
Right.
And it's pretty convenient. You just go on the app, choose what you want, and they deliver it to your doorstep.
Well, you choose where you want the food from. So you can get your kuay teow from your favorite kuay teow store.
What they have. I mean, it depends on what they have.
They tie up with merchants. There are quite a number of startups that also do that. You know, it's like a Food Panda thingy.
Yeah. Right. So it's like Food Panda. Oh, okay. Well, as we know, there's no official confirmation of the deal. But when you look at this potential deal from the perspective of Japan's SoftBank that has made a large investment in Uber earlier this year, but it also has invested in Grab.
This
makes quite a bit of sense from the SoftBank perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah, so it makes sense for them, as you said, Shara, because, you know, to look into consolidation, because the ride-hailing business, they need to improve their earnings because it bleeds billions of dollars a year and they need to make profits eventually to sustain themselves, right? And if this Grab-Uber deal happens, SoftBank is a clear winner from this.
Okay, so good for SoftBank, good for Grab, good for Uber, but what about you and me? Is it going to be good for the consumer?
Okay, there are big question marks about that, because essentially speculation is that prices will rise if there's a monopoly. But really, it depends on how Grab will handle it. So what we did yesterday was we checked with a legal expert on the anti-competition law that we have in Malaysia. Now, according to him, the law does not punish monopolies, but punishes anti-competitive behavior. So the structure is not relevant, but the behavior is. So essentially, this is basically spelled out in our anti-competition law of 2010 in Section 10. So if the law is there, it's if Grab doesn't behave in an anti-competitive manner by surging prices, increasing prices dramatically, then I suppose they will be able to continue business as usual.
I must say, it strikes me as slightly counterintuitive to say that the structure is not relevant, behavior is, because clearly behavior is predicated on certain structures. I mean, you can only do certain things because you're in such a position now, you know, and you can hide it in many ways. And how will, these agencies even monitor? You have so-called surge pricing. You have prices varying throughout the day.
So it really depends on how the company handles it.
Yeah,
and
they can always say, well, there's a lot of demand. Who's going to be able to check whether there's in fact a lot of demand?
The regulatory bodies like SPAD, this is where they have to come in and say, if the surge pricing is X percentage above the normal fares, then, for example, that can be deemed to be anti-competitive.
Okay, one way to maybe look at how other regulators are dealing with this, we can look down south to the Competition Commission of Singapore. They're now deliberating on a deal. It's called the ComfortDelGro Uber deal. And it would be maybe something that we should watch in terms of how they make sense of what's actually going on.
What do we know
from this ComfortDelGro Uber deal?
Well, in December last year, the Singaporean taxi company ComfortDelGro bought a majority stake in Uber's local car rental service, Lion City Rentals. So with the Competition Commission looking into that, pretty sure they'll look into the Grab Uber deal as well if that deal happens. But also just to note, right, in November, the anti-monopoly regulator in Russia gave the green light for Uber and Yandex ride-sharing businesses to merge. So they got the green light in Russia already end of last year.
Yeah, but you see, in Singapore, it's complicated by the fact that besides the monopoly is a very strong one, because Comfort then has the largest taxi fleet as well. So, you know, you have the ride-hailing business and the taxi fleet in cahoots with each other. That's definitely going to be something. That's why regulators are probably looking at it closely.
Okay. So the other thing that happens if the Grab Uber deal happens, and this is how Grab is going to strategize it on a regional level, is because its footprint is now huge. What do we know of its regional battle plan, as it were?
Well, I mean, right now, I think the obvious battleground here, the hot place to be in right now for the ride-hailing people is a jewel in the Southeast Asian crown is Indonesia, where a strong contender there is Indonesia's Gojek, that is backed by Google, Alphabet Inc.'s Google, and China's Tencent, right? So that's a very hot market to be in right now. Everyone wants to go there, the volume and all that. So if this Grab-Uber deal does happen, I guess they will have to redraw their lines and relook at their battle plans. But Indonesia is definitely on the map for them. And, you know, currently Grab offers, I think, services in more than 190 cities across Southeast Asia. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see if this deal happens, how they're going to go about it, how they're going to go about the anti-competition law thing. Different regulatory bodies. I mean, different markets, right?
Yeah, because in Indonesia, obviously, they have the lion's share of market, and they're also a domestic player.
Gojek, you're talking about, right? Yeah, Gojek. They do. They have a first mover advantage.
Let's move on to the possibility of a trade war between China and the U.S. It's weighed down sentiment globally, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average sliding below the 24,000 level for the second time in 3 months. Because we also know from the global conversations about this is Asian equity markets, you know, lost billions over the last week. Now, does this trade war, potential trade war, impact Malaysia, and to what extent?
Okay, let's look at the numbers. For a start, China and US make up about 40% of the world's GDP and almost a quarter of world trade. Now, according to Maybank's group chief economist, Suhaimi Ilyas, he estimates that for every 10% drop in US-China trade, this shaves 0.7% of world economic growth. So this is a significant number.
Yeah, let's recap the trade spat so far. Trump initially imposed tariffs on solar panels and components, and then steel and aluminium products. Last week, there was news of additional 25% of tariffs on Chinese goods, and this could potentially have an impact of $50 billion on over 100 Chinese goods, right?
Now, the Chinese are not taking this lying down. Why would they? Yeah. And what exactly do we know of their strategies going forward?
Well, they're proposing retaliatory tariffs on 128 U.S. products that have an import value of $3 billion. Now, more importantly, actually, they also hinted at a possible easing of U.S. Treasury purchases. That's really significant because the China is the largest investor in U.S. Treasury bills. Now, they basically hold about 19% of the total.
You know, what surprises me is that Donald Trump didn't use the mechanisms that are available to deal with unfair practices that are there in the global infrastructure to deal with trade, right? He's decided to kind of like, shoot one across the bow and basically spark a war.
Sharad,
it will take us in a spiral downward.
Is that surprising to come from Donald Trump, though?
Yeah. Well,
you know,
he shoots from the hip.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's come back to Malaysia, where, you know, when we look at these global events from a Malaysian perspective, what do we know about the impact of such a trade war?
Well, let's look at some key facts. Last year, China was Malaysia's second largest export destination, about 14% of exports, and the US was Malaysia's third largest export destination, about 9.5% of exports.
Yeah, so according to Nomura, the impact to Malaysia could be at several areas. It could impact our ability to service our external debts, and also a broad-based commodity decline will then have a negative effect on our terms of trade. There could be a terms of trade shock. Bank Negara would also then potentially allow the ringgit to adjust to boost export competitiveness. So that's going to be bad news for those of you who benefit from a strong ringgit. Now, there could be also a cut in statutory reserve requirements for banks.
And so what about the stock market? Like, very quickly, as we're running out of time.
Well, analysts do not think Bursa Malaysia would be spared should the selling wave continue globally. Tech stocks were among the worst hit on Bursa Malaysia last week. And, you know, particularly semiconductor players could see further decline looking into that. So that's one thing that our analysts are seeing. But in short, the real implications have yet to be seen. That's what they're saying. And economists are saying that, you know, there's no immediate impact yet. But if it escalates, Malaysia could be hit.
Okay, all of us, it seems like. When the giants fight, all of us get trampled. There's a wonderful Malay idiom in that regard. We're coming up to the top of the hour. We'll be back with the opening numbers on the stock market and more news and analysis. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.